Hello and welcome. As a reminder, I did want to make sure everybody remembers that in the email that you received, there is a link to a visual aid. So feel free to use that to follow along. And before we begin, I'm going to read the firm's disclosure statement. Since the funds primarily invest in foreign currencies, changes in currency exchange rates will affect the value of what the funds own and the price of the fund shares. Investing in foreign instruments bears a greater risk than investing in domestic instruments for reasons such as volatility of currency exchange rates and, in some cases, limited geographic focus, political and economic instability, and relatively illiquid markets. The funds are subject to interest rate risk, which is the risk that debt securities in the fund's portfolio will decline in value because of increases in market interest rates. The fund may also invest in derivative securities, which can be volatile and involve various types of degrees of risk. As a non-diversified fund, the Mercard Currency Fund will be subject to more investment risk and potential for volatility than a diversified fund because their portfolio may at times focus on a limited number of issuers. For a more complete discussion of these and other fund risks, please refer to each fund's prospectus. Before investing, you should carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. This and other information is in the prospectus, a copy of which may be obtained by calling 1-866-MERC-FUND or visiting the fund's website. Please read the prospectus carefully before you invest. Foreside Fund Services, LLC, distributor. During this call, you will hear from Chief Economist Joseph Bruzuelas, who will give an update on the economy, and then Portfolio Manager Axel Merck, who will give you an update on the dollar and the global context and the Merck Mutual Funds. After the presentation has concluded, we'll open the floor to questions. You'll be given instructions on how to pose a question at that time. And now I would like to turn the floor over to our Chief Economist, Joseph Bruzuelas. Joe?
Thank you, Kristen, and good afternoon, everybody. The extraordinary action taken by global central banks over recent days have attempted to put a cap on the recent intensification of the credit crisis. The coordinated move to recapitalize banks has only resulted in a modest improvement in various credit indicators, and indeed today we saw deterioration across almost all asset classes and indeed a pickup of crisis signals among various different indicators. It has been our belief that the economy has been in recession since early 2008. And indeed, the economic activity that we have observed before the recent crisis was decelerating. The housing market continues to be the source of much of the weakness in the real economy. We have and expect to see continued downturns in consumer spending, business investment, and employment. It is clear to us that the credit crisis has spilled over into the real economy. We now expect to see that the economy will contract over the next three quarters, that real personal consumption spending will see a negative quarter for the first time since 1982, and we expect real consumption, which is a source of 70% of overall output, to be also negative in the final quarter of this year. Leading indicators such as retail sales have moved negative in recent days, and with the onset of the global recession, we do not expect the magnitude of support from the external sector for overall growth to be similar to what was observed earlier this year. Although some of this will be offset by the decline in the cost of gasoline, which based on our own internal estimates should inject approximately $132 billion into the pocketbooks of consumers, will be sufficient to stem the downward trend in consumption. Due to the continuing decline in housing prices, a negative wealth effect linked to the decline in equity portfolios and weak job and income prospects, we feel that the risk to our core scenario actually is to the downside. With respect to the employment picture, our provisional forecast of the rate of employment expects to observe a move to 6.9% later this year and 7.3% 1 year from now. Non-farm payrolls should see losses on a monthly basis approaching 200,000 on average on the back of the credit crisis throughout the remainder of the year, with a significant risk to the upside through early to mid-2009. With respect to monetary policy, the Fed has recently cut rates, and we expect that the federal funds rate will decline to 1% quite quickly. Our Taylor Rule forecasting model for the federal funds rate indicates that once one plugs in where we expect inflation to go and where we expect unemployment to go, we see a sub 1% federal funds rate. The Fed at this time, in our opinion, would not prefer to test the zero boundary on the target rate, but may have to do so should economic conditions continue to decline further than what the market has already priced in. On the inflation front, the onset of the recent crisis has stimulated a period of intense deleveraging and a fall in prices across most asset classes, save that of gold. With the cost of energy and commodities seeing a rapid decline over the past few months, the short-term prospects for inflation have now taken what we believe to be a decisive turn. We anticipate that in the near term, headline estimates for the Consumer Price Index, the Producer Price Index, and the Personal Consumption Expenditure Deflator will actually see significant declines. However, core inflation should continue to increase for some time. Please do remember that inflation is a slow-moving process and a lagging indicator. Thus, the decline in the cost of raw goods that has been rather sharp over the last 2 months will take some time to work their way through the pipeline and translate into an improvement in core rates. Now, that being said, over time, we expect that the risk to our core scenario actually is over the horizon, looking at the medium to long term. This will be linked to the outlays planned by the federal government to address the recent financial crisis and the growing output gap that should push fiscal year 2009 spending well over $1 trillion. Based on what we know at the close of business today, the cumulative total of the federal deficit for fiscal 9 right now looks to come in at $1.2 trillion if one includes the expected cost of the rescue of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Now, with the majority in Congress proposing a $300 billion stimulus package and the additional $250 billion of capital injections that look to be planned, we could see the total gap rise within reach of $1.75 trillion with a significant risk to the upside for the year. Recently, to accommodate strained conditions in money markets, the Fed has increased the adjusted monetary base by 18.9% as of October 8, 2008. We expect to see the monetary base to be expanded in an outsized way for the foreseeable future. The risk here is that over time, if political pressure becomes significant enough and the economy deteriorates, the Fed may choose to monetize the debt and we may see higher than expected inflation. That is my presentation for today. Thank you.